KTY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And as always, we thank you for joining us on Crosstalk. Folks, it is just a barrage of issues that are impacting us across this nation. And today we're going to be focusing on our borders. Any semblance of border policy designed to protect our nation is systematically being undone by this Biden administration. I mean, just yesterday, President Biden released this 21-point plan to process asylum claims and bypass immigration courts. That's right, bypass immigration courts. Tens of thousands of those who have entered our nation illegally are repeatedly and reportedly being released into the U.S. without court dates. I mean, there are those who have been convicted of homicide, deported from the U.S., have reentered our nation again, and yes, you guessed it, all illegally. Well, things are so bad in Texas, we've got the governor taking what action he is able to do on the borders. And meanwhile, we had the Biden administration paying millions every day to not build the border wall. Well, with these and other stories, we welcome back Mark Krikorian, nationally recognized expert on immigration issues. He is the executive director of Center for Immigration Studies. They are an independent, nonpartisan research organization that examines and critiques the impact of immigration on the U.S. He has testified many times before Congress, has published many articles, and appeared in outlets across the nation. Mark, thank you for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me back.
Well, so much has happened since you were with us last, and there's a lot unfolding, but let's just begin by talking some numbers. What do we know about numbers that are crossing the border illegally, and how many of them are being returned?
Well, pretty much every month since Biden was inaugurated, we've had close to, I mean, something like between 150 and 190,000 illegal immigrant arrests at the border. Now, a lot of those people, some of those people were arrested several times. And, you know, the adult males were just turned around and sent back home. But a lot of them, the adults who bring kids with them and the kids, the minors, most of them teenagers, whom their parents paid to have smuggled to the border, but then they step over on their own and are classified as unaccompanied minors. All of those groups, the families and the teenagers, are let go into the United States in one way or another eventually. In other words, they're not sent back. And so we're not really sure, but the number of people who have been formally just released into the United States is, so far this year, probably we're looking at a couple hundred thousand, maybe more. That's, and most of those people will not get asylum, so they'll just become illegal aliens.
Wow.
In fact, there was a report this week that about 50,000 people who were released by the board, by this administration's order, without even giving them a court date. In other words, they were released with a piece of paper saying, please turn yourself into ICE when you get to wherever you're going,
oh my,
wherever your relatives are.
Oh, my.
And, yeah, and surprise, surprise, something like 85% at least, I forget the exact percentage, never did. They didn't turn, you know, of course, it's immigration enforcement on the honor system, and that's not the way law enforcement works.
Right.
So, you know, it's bad news. I mean, and there's no reason to think it's going to get any better. In fact, the administration was keeping its fingers crossed that the numbers might go down once the temperature went up, because usually that's what happened. In the summer, the numbers go down, because really, I mean, if you've been down there on the border, it's brutal in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not. They actually went up in June. Not a huge amount, but they went up a lot when Biden was inaugurated, and then they've been kind of inching up a little bit every month since then. They're not going down because of the summer. There's no reason to think that the July numbers are actually going to be any lower than the June numbers were.
So get into the country. When you get to your city of destiny, turn yourself into officials. I mean, why don't we put signs on the highways? When you finish your road trip, turn yourself in for speeding, or, you know, on and on, that scenario is carried out. I mean, it's, you know, it's insane to think that people are going to actually do that, and yet we're releasing them to the detriment of the U.S. citizens?
Yeah, of course. Yes, we are. And without that court date, because if they're given it's called a notice to appear. The technical term doesn't matter, but it's like an indictment in criminal cases, even though these are civil cases. If they don't show up, then the judge can order them deported. And if they're ever found, they don't need to go back to court. They're just literally, okay, you're in the system, you're ordered deported, you're out of here by the end of the day. But if they don't give them a court date and they just let them go and they don't show up, ICE has to find them, and they're not allowed even to look for them now, and then give them the court date. And then when they don't show up, ICE has to find them again, throw them out of the country. Right. I mean, I'm almost laughing because it's so absurd, but it's not funny. You know, this is, often people will say, refer to opponents or policies as open borders, and sometimes they exaggerate, but this isn't really exaggerating. How is this not open borders?
Yeah. Well, just yesterday, President Biden released his 21-point plan for border control, and certainly we can't go through this with a fine-tooth comb by any means, but what should be our takeaway from this plan? Is it just new words in the same old wrapper, or what do we have here?
I mean, yes, it is, but it's actually worse. The new parts are worse than the old parts, because what they're talking about here, one of the key things they're talking about is speeding up and streamlining the way people get asylum. And what they're going to do is, instead of going, you mentioned this at the beginning, instead of having the immigration judge, sort of sift through people's claims about whether they, that they want asylum, whether it's legitimate, whether they qualify, et cetera, they're going to have asylum officers who are not judges, just, people who work for Homeland Security at the border deciding right there. And the administration has taken steps toward dramatically widening who can qualify for asylum. So what used to be asylum is supposed to be for people who are, being persecuted because of their religion or their political beliefs. They're now going to give asylum to people who, whose husbands abuse them, which is a bad thing, but that's not asylum. People who are fleeing, criminal gangs because in their neighborhood, there was crime. That's not a basis for asylum. In fact, you're not even supposed to be qualified for asylum if there's some other place in your own country you could go to. And these are all people who will pass through Mexico.
Yes.
Which has its own asylum system.
Okay.
In fact, they have a helpful video online about how to apply for asylum, and yet they're coming here. My point here is that the administration is looking towards solving the border problem by just giving asylum to almost everybody anyway, and then saying, well, look, it's not illegal because they all have asylum, and that's why we're letting them go.
Would you compare to what's happening at the southern border with Mexico to what's happening with those who are getting on boats from Cuba and wanting to seek asylum here?
Well, there's not that many people doing it by boats from Cuba, and a lot of people have said, aha, the Biden administration doesn't like Cuban immigrants, let in non-Cuban immigrants. In other words, people figure this, they're making a political point. But that's actually not correct, because the Cubans don't come by boat anymore. Why bother if you can fly to Mexico City and just take a bus to the border? Because the Cubans are one of the big groups of illegals that are being let go at the border, along with Haitians and Central Americans, but also now people from Africa and Asia. There's Romanian gypsies
because
are coming over in increasing numbers.
We've had the Biden administration, though, tell the Cubans, do not come here. We're going to send you back.
Not the case?
They
said do not come by boat.
By boat, okay.
What they're saying, without saying it, and they said it to Haitians, too, because it's Haitians and Cubans. Both of them have come by boat, and there's disorder in both countries now. What they've said is, do not come by sea. The unspoken part of it was, we're just letting you across the land border, so don't come by sea. And we're letting in lots of Cubans and Haitians along with everybody else streaming across the border. So no, it's not a Cuba-specific thing. What they're worried about is they don't want the images of news helicopters taking pictures of people swarming onto the beaches of Florida. They would rather it happen in Texas, where people often come over at night, the media are sort of bored, so they don't take pictures of it anymore, and it keeps it out of the news. If they're coming by boat into Florida, whether they're Haitians or Cubans, that's hard to hide, and that's what they want to avoid.
Mark Krikorian with us here today from the Center for Immigration Studies. So I believe today marks the 70th anniversary of the signing of the United Nations Convention relating to the status of refugees.
Yep.
We see history tells us President Truman, he didn't want to sign this thing. He said this is going to infringe on our sovereignty, but President Johnson did reverse course and sign it. What is this treaty? What is its purpose?
It's the UN Refugee Treaty is what it is, which sets up the basically the refugee and asylum system that we're operating under today. And it's important because it basically is a tool that the anti-borders, you know, left groups, non-government groups, use in conjunction with our courts to make it as difficult as possible to keep illegal aliens out of the United States. Not to go into a lot of detail, but there's two ways of refugees coming here. One is regular refugee resettlement, you know, where we bring people from Burma or Syria or whatever, and we pick them and bring them here.
Mm-hmm.
Asylum is the other part of it, and that we do not have control over, because the person comes here without our consent, sneaks across the border, or maybe comes with a raft, and then says, you have to classify me as a refugee, whether you like it or not. Here's the treaty, and I'm going to go to court if you don't do it. And so until we get out of this 70-year-old, you know, Cold War refugee treaty and set our own asylum policy based on what we think is in our interest, we're not going to be successful in controlling our own border, because these other groups, you know, ACLU and, you know, Soros-funded groups and all of that stuff, there's a lot of them, they are going to be more and more successful, regardless of who's in the White House, at preventing us from deporting illegal aliens, is what it amounts to. And the first step is withdrawing from the refugee treaty, the UN refugee treaty. We have the right to do it, all treaties you can get out of. But until you get out of the treaty, it is, as the Constitution says, the law of the land. That's a treaty. The Senate ratified it. We have to get out of it. Then we can set our own immigration and refugee policies, not have to conform to the UN standards.
So how do we revoke this? Do we have to go back through the U.S. Senate? Is something through presidential action?
No, the president has to do it, and this president is going to do it, obviously.
Yeah.
But that's the way it works. Is the president, President Trump, for instance,
he could have
drew from several treaties. You do it, you give him 1 year notice. That's the way the treaty says, 1 year's notice, and then you're out of it.
And then
so it's going to wait till, you know, it's going to have to wait till President DeSantis or whoever is going to do it. It's not going to happen under President Biden.
Mark Krikorian with us here today. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back to talk more about this border crisis and the reporting as to the issues that are taking place and where do we go from here. So stay with us. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, now I've heard that sometimes germs evolve. Is this true?
Chris, this is a common claim that some germs acquire the ability to infect certain new species, or maybe they become resistant to drugs. But this is not evolution. In fact, it's really devolution, the loss of ability or the loss of genes to accomplish a certain purpose. A recent study showed that the whooping cough bacteria lost a certain suite of genes, which caused the animal host immune system not to recognize it. Now a new animal can be infected, but is this evolution? What happens here is the loss of genes, not the gain of genes as evolution needs. What results is death, not life. While it doesn't fit the evolution view, it does fit the creation followed by the fall and the curse view, and that's the back to Genesis view.
Thanks for tuning in to Back to Genesis.
program is called Crosstalk. It comes your way each weekday at the same time on the VCY American Network. With us today, Mark Krikorian with a report on the border crisis. And, folks, it is certainly insanity what is taking place in our nation right now. Mark, we understand that there is, we're just accommodating so many. Border Patrol actually dropping off illegal aliens at bus stations, shipping them across cities across the country?
Yeah, it is kind of surreal, but at the southern border, especially, you know, an area like McAllen, Texas, way down in South Texas, the Border Patrol doesn't turn these illegal aliens around. I mean, especially the ones who bring kids with them. Basically, the kids serve as a kind of golden ticket into the U.S. The Border Patrol, you know, takes their pictures or whatever it is and then puts them in a bus and drops them off at the regular bus station, you know, like the Greyhound, whatever station it is in McAllen. I mean, there's other, I don't know if Greyhound's even around, but it's the regular city bus station.
Mm-hmm.
And then in some cases, if we're talking about so-called unaccompanied minors, they're held in shelters until the Health and Human Services Department, which takes custody of them, can find the parents and make sure that, you know, it's all on the up and up. It's not some trafficking thing. But then we taxpayers pay to deliver those teenagers to their illegal immigrant parents. In other words, the government completes the smuggling process so that the smugglers get them from Central America to the border. We get them from the border to their parents, who are themselves illegal aliens, who paid smugglers to bring them there. And it's even worse. In some cases, we pay to fly the illegal immigrant parents to the border to pick up their kids and then fly them back to wherever they live, in Chicago or L.A. or Washington or whatever it is. It is surreal that this is tolerated, and it really does show how radical the mainstream Democratic Party has become on immigration, because this is not something that ever would have happened under Bill Clinton. And frankly, even, I mean, you know, I'm kind of yearning for the good old days of Barack Obama, who was tougher on immigration, if that's even the right word to use, than the Biden administration.
Wow, that's quite a statement.
Just
earlier this month, I mean, it was a report about the White House warning border agents to prepare for a flood of migrants, as many as 1,200 families daily. I mean, numbers are just really off the charts. I mean, the White House is actually planning for this. Get ready. There's going to be more.
Yep, absolutely. And one of the reasons they're trying to do planning is that there's this thing called Title 42. Doesn't matter what the terminology is, but what it is during the pandemic, the Surgeon General was able to authorize the Homeland Security Department to just turn around anyone at the border, no hearing, no nothing, just push them back into Mexico. And that helped, obviously. This administration has made lots of exceptions to that, but they're now talking about lifting it altogether, with regard to single adult men. And what they're worried about is when they do that, you're going to have this huge extra surge on top of the surge of illegal immigrants. They know it's going to happen, and yet they seem to be moving in that direction anyway, because that's what these anti-borders groups that support the administration want to see.
You mentioned pandemic. What do we know about those entering our country? Are they testing positive for COVID?
Some are, some aren't. I mean, it's kind of murky, but what the Border Patrol seems to be doing is working with these nonprofit groups so that they do testing of the illegal immigrants they catch. And then they supposedly are supposed to kind of quarantine these people who test positive, except there was just a story from border reporters down in South Texas. I tweeted it out, that said in one instance they got a whole bunch of hotel rooms, probably motel rooms, where they put people who were tested positive. And they had symptoms, too. I mean, it wasn't just some abstract test. They were, you know, hacking and all of that stuff. And they were supposed to stay in the hotel, but there was no police. Nobody was going to keep them there. And there were reports that they just went out to, you know, Whataburger and got hamburgers while they're sneezing all over the place.
Mm.
So it's not so much that the illegal immigrants are especially, you know, more likely to have COVID. It's that there's very little and very loose and poorly enforced control over who gets, you know, who's quarantined and whether they're following up on this stuff. So it's, you know, it's bad news. And it seems to be that, I mean, it's not seems, it's literally the administration's position that European tourists are not allowed to come here legally through airports, even if they test negative for COVID, but illegal aliens can come across the southern border regardless.
I'd like to hit another issue with you, and that is dealing with those who are entering here, re-entries, and with criminal records. I just before coming on this program saw an article on CNS.com about a report of it was from the Office of U.S. Attorney for Arizona, and he's been putting out monthly reports that cite the number of aliens had charged that month with illegal reentry and the subset of those who had previously been convicted in the U.S. of a non-immigration crime. But it charged in June, 241 aliens with illegal reentry, and of those 241, 178 had previously been convicted of non-immigration criminal offenses in the U.S. 40 had violent crime convictions, of which 6 had homicide convictions. 8 had sex offense convictions. 6 had domestic violence convictions. 10 had property crime convictions. 36 DUI convictions. And 90 had crime convictions. I mean, this is shocking. Drug crime convictions for the 90. To me, it's just outrageous that this circular conveyor belt is just, you know, running at warp speed.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, it's. I hate to say it, but I've been doing this long enough that it doesn't surprise me anymore. In some sense, you get kind of jaded, but absolutely, that there's no question that people who are criminals who end up getting deported, and one of the reasons there's so many criminals among those people who reentered after deportation is that the only people we deport now are ones who already commit crimes anyway. Even under Trump, almost everybody who got deported was already a criminal, despite all of the hyperventilation from the open borders groups.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the what's unusual is that they're prosecuting any people who reentered after deportation. Because when you sneak across the border the first time, that's a criminal offense, but it's a misdemeanor. Usually, they don't prosecute those, although frankly they should, you know, as a deterrent. Under Trump, they did. These guys, this group now has basically stopped that. But if you have been deported, you go through the whole process and are deported, if you come back, that's a felony. And this administration has not prioritized prosecuting people who reentered after deportation, whether they're committed other criminal offenses or not. And in fact, they're not even deporting people who have committed a wide variety of offenses. Most of the crimes that you described in that list, those are people who were deported under Trump for the most part,
mm-hmm.
for those crimes. Under this administration, most of those criminals would not be deported because Biden, for instance, has explicitly said, I mean, he said this on TV, that if you're convicted of drunk driving offenses, criminal offenses on drunk driving, even if it's a felony conviction, they're not going to deport you because he doesn't consider that sufficient grounds to deport an illegal immigrant. We're not talking about a legal alien who basically forfeits his right to be here, because until you're a citizen, you can still be deported. But if you're a legal immigrant with a green card, you have to commit a pretty serious offense to get deported, and I guess that makes sense because we've let you live here as a permanent resident. But if you're an illegal alien, every illegal alien is deportable at any time. And what this administration is saying is that not only are they going to ignore most illegal aliens, they're going to ignore most illegal aliens who are convicted of crime.
Wow.
And so, you know, a year from now, there may not be as many of the kind of people you described, precisely because they're not even deporting most criminals now.
Is it true that immigration judges have been forbidden to use that term alien?
Yep, exactly. That was a memo that went out, I think it was either last week, whatever it was relatively recently, a memo went out that said immigration judges, it's not that they're not allowed to use the word illegal alien. They're not allowed to use the word alien itself. In other words, they can't even say, like, undocumented alien, which itself is a euphemism. Even though alien is the word in the law hundreds of times in federal law, which simply refers to people who are not citizens or nationals of the United States. Hmm. It's a neutral term. If I go to Norway, I'm an alien there. That's just what that word means. But this administration has basically told immigration judges that they are not allowed to use the word that exists in the law to describe people who are foreigners, unless they're specifically quoting a section of the law in quotation marks. They're not allowed to use the word. It is perverse, I think, is the only way I can describe it. And I'm surprised even immigration judges who are kind of more liberally leaning, I'm surprised even they are tolerating this, because this is basically telling them what they're allowed to say and how they're allowed to say it. And that's absurd.
Let's hit the border wall here. It was making great progress under President Trump, but I understand now that there are millions of tax dollars being spent every day to not build the wall. And that's not coming from the Babylon Bee or the Onion. This is actually happening.
Yeah, absolutely it is. As soon as President Biden was inaugurated, he ordered a stoppage to all border wall construction. Except, of course, that it was underway already. And so they'd done site work. They delivered all the materials. A lot of them were out there, you know, right near where the construction was going on, sitting in piles, waiting to be picked up and used. And so the contracts that these builders have signed require the government to keep paying them. So obviously the Democrats in Congress aren't going to investigate this, but one of the Republican committees in the Senate took a look at this, and Senator Lankford from Oklahoma who had his staff look into this and look at what the numbers are. And what they concluded is that the government, which is to say taxpayers, are paying around $3 million a day to these companies to not build the wall.
Hmm.
It's kind of like, you know, we pay farmers to not grow crops. Well, that's kind of what we're doing here. We're paying probably for the next 12 to 18 months because of the contract terms. We're going to be paying these people to drive out and basically guard the building supplies that they're not allowed to use and build. We're paying people to not build the wall. It is surreal. It would save money at this point to finish building parts of the wall, even if they don't want to build more of it. If they just finish what they've already paid for, it seems like that would be a much more prudent and good government way to do it, rather than spend money on nothing.
Wow. Folks, we're going to take a quick break. I've got just a couple more questions as well, because we're going to take a look at how Texas is getting engaged with this. And what about DACA? There's been a significant court ruling there as well, so we'll get an update on that as well as where do we go from here. So stay with us. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Mark Krikorian is with us today from the Center for Immigration Studies. Their website, cis.org. We'll be right back.
From the frontiers of scientific discovery, researchers are now taking design elements from the natural world and creating extraordinary breakthroughs that benefit our health, our quality of life, our ability to communicate, and even help us work more efficiently. Many of these are documented in the book Discovery of Design. In this book, you'll learn how things like batteries, human organ repair, microlenses, and even credit card security all have links to natural designs. You'll learn how innovations like solar panels in space use technology from beech tree leaves, how the study of the leg bone led to the building of the Eiffel Tower, how the study of the timber beetle helped to improve the use of chainsaws. Over 75 such illustrations are given. It's a fantastic journey into the intersection of science and God's blueprints for life. Discovery of Design is available for a donation of $16 or more to VCY America by calling 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
guest today is Mark Krikorian from Center for Immigration Studies, their website, cis.org. And folks, if you want to stay informed and, you know, just put aside the bias of the major media of our nation and really get the truth of what's happening at the borders, get to that site, cis.org. And stay informed. We were just talking about spending $3 million a day not to build the border wall. And I see the subtitle in an article that came from Center for Immigration Studies that as much now as $2 billion has been wasted since Inauguration Day. That's outrageous.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, if you add up what we're spending. And the thing is, there's no end in sight. I mean, because of the terms of the contract, it looks like we're going to have to keep paying these builders to not build the wall for another year, maybe year and a half, different builders at different contracts.
It's kind of like paying people not to work, isn't it?
Basically, yeah, that's what it is.
Okay, let's talk about Texas Governor Abbott. He has gotten engaged in some limited ways. Tell us what he's got going.
Well, what Texas decided is that, I mean, they obviously got frustrated with good reason that the Border Patrol is not enforcing the border. They're not even allowed to. I mean, the Border Patrol agents would love to. That's what they signed up for. They're literally not allowed to. I sent an analyst of mine who lives and works out of Texas and knows a lot of the law enforcement and intelligence analysts and stuff down there. He spent a night on the border, and he was with Border Patrol agents, Texas National Guard, and Texas State Police. The Department of Public Safety is what they call it in Texas. And literally, they have to kind of stand there and wave the illegal aliens into the United States. I mean, it's like their welcome wagon or Walmart greeters. And what Governor Abbott said is, look, this is ridiculous. What can we do on our end to try to counter what the administration is doing? Because states can't deport people. Immigration law is a federal prerogative. What they can do, though, is arrest people for state violations. And if they're crossing private land, they can arrest them for trespassing. So that's what they've started to do, is arrest these illegal immigrants for trespassing. They've also they've sent Texas National Guard, which, like I said, there's not much they can do, but they can do something. It can help the local state police. And then some states have sent law enforcement and National Guard people. Florida did it, South Dakota, several other states as well.
Mm-hmm.
The question, though, is, I mean, I think it's an important thing to do because it sends a clear signal that this is, you know, it's a vote of no confidence in the federal government's policies. But for instance, the illegal immigrants who are arrested for trespassing, you know, how long are the, I mean, how long do you get jail for trespassing? You know, 30 days or something? And then what do they do with them? Texas can't deport them. I mean, I guess they could take them to the crossing point on our side and say, okay, fella, you know, adios, see you later. But they don't have to leave. They have to let them go into the United States because ICE and the Border Patrol are prohibited from taking custody of these people. So It's important what Texas is doing, but until the federal policies change, it's not going to have as big an effect as, you know, as I would like.
Texas also putting some money aside for wall completion?
Yeah, that's the other thing they're doing is, and that they can do as long as it's not on federal land, is try to plug some of the holes in the fence that were left when Biden halted fence construction. Because there are places where, you know, the fence is done, except there's like 750 feet where there's no fence, which is just a hole inviting people to sneak through there. And so they are trying to do, they are in fact doing some wall construction. But, you know, the federal government can obstruct them there. Because, and under the Biden administration, they probably will, because some of the land the federal government already took through eminent domain. And so, you know, they're not going to let Texas build the wall on a portion of land that they already purchased. So, again, this is an important and useful measure that Texas is doing, but the impact of it's going to be limited. Because the real problem, the root cause of the border disaster is in the White House. And until that changes, anything that the states do are going to be at the margins helpful, but they're not going to be game changers.
If you would, Mark, give us an update on DACA. I mean, we saw a pretty significant ruling come from the courts.
Yeah, there was a ruling not that long ago that DACA is illegal. It's a federal judge in Texas. I mean, it's obviously illegal. He said both the way it was done was illegal and the substance of it, basically giving amnesty to people without Congress's consent.
And that's the Obama administration, correct?
Yes, it was the Obama administration back in 2012 they did it. But what the judge said also is that the people who already have DACA will get to keep their work permits, because that's what it's about. It's a work permit program. Because they've been, you know, I mean, the government gave them them. They took these work permits in good faith because that's what the rules were, and they've had jobs. They got hired, and they've been working for 9 years. They're not kids. They're all, I mean, these a lot of them are in their 40s at this point or late 30s at this point. And so he said, okay, if you've got a DACA work permit, you can keep it for now because the case will be appealed further on, but no new DACA applications can be processed. And so he froze DACA so it's not growing, because it was growing. They were taking new applications, but the people who have DACA get to keep it. But this is the first time, finally, it's got to court where a judge says the program itself was a violation of the law. Very important. But it's symbolically important in the sense that it's making the right point, but it's not actually changing anybody's status, because the ones who have work permits get to keep them, at least until now, because it'll go to circuit court, which is the federal appeals level, and almost certainly will eventually get to the Supreme Court.
Friends, our telephone number to Crosstalk today, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. If you have a question for our guest today or a brief comment, your reaction to these issues that are going on at our border right now, 800-733-9829. What is the path forward, Mark? I mean, things are looking pretty grim as it relates to these programs, the policies that the Biden administration has come forth, the orders have been given to the Border Patrol agents, the taxpayer-funded flights and bus trips throughout the United States on their tours. What is the path forward?
There are paths forward. Nobody should be, despair is a sin. And there's a lot of stuff that is going to keep happening that's bad as long as this administration is in the White House. But it doesn't mean that there's no way to fight back, because, first of all, the courts are an important place to fight back. The opponents of the Trump administration used the courts to obstruct what were obviously legal policies. They essentially waged what they call lawfare. In other words, instead of warfare, it's lawfare in the courts. And Texas and Arizona and Montana and other states have sued already on various elements to stop various policies. There are private groups. There's sort of a new kind of conservative version of the ACLU. I think it's America First Law Institute, it's called, that has some heavy hitters and a lot of money, and they are filing suit against a variety of Biden policies. And then at the state level, there are some things they can do. Texas, like we had said earlier, is doing something with using its own law enforcement to enforce its state laws. Other states can conceivably do that. There's a limit to what they can do, but there are some things they can do. They can also, demand information and withhold permission for certain things. For instance, some states have said that unaccompanied minors, these illegal immigrants that their parents, illegal immigrant parents here, smuggled their illegal immigrant kids to the border, but without the parents, so that they have this special status in the law. They have refused to allow the federal government to put them in shelters in their states. Mm-hmm. That's something they can do. My point is, there's a variety of things that people can do in addition to just complaining to their lawmakers, and I suspect that next year the Democrats are going to suffer serious defeats at the polls, and that may give the administration a little bit of a pause. But all of those things, they're important. People need to do something, push back, and they will have some beneficial effects. But until this administration is turned out of the White House, there's a limit to how much we can stop what they're doing. We can do real things, but ultimately the answer is to not have this administration in power.
Robin is calling from Monticello, Kentucky. You're on the air, Robin.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I'm curious about how many people have died and what do they do with them, and do they give them a shot at this new shot? Thank you.
You mean how many died crossing illegally or trying to cross?
Yes, and what do they do with them or take them back? And do they give them a shot like what we get?
Yeah, I mean, there's two sort of questions there, and the answer is that the local health departments and stuff do, in fact, vaccinate some significant share of people because, you know, the vaccine's now available to pretty much anybody who wants them in the United States. You don't really have to ration or prioritize anymore. It's not the government that does it. I'm pretty sure it's these local groups that coordinate with, like, the county health departments, that kind of thing. So some of them, a lot of them do get vaccinated if they aren't already. But the first question is interesting because significant numbers of people do, in fact, die because of the heat down there, you know, out of heat stroke, dehydration, there's all kinds of things, as well as the smugglers, some of whom are really the scum of the earth. It was interesting. Who did I talk to? Oh, yeah, it was a congressman from a Republican congressman from part of the border in Texas was on a podcast I listened to recently, and he said his local officials in his district, he was talking to them and saying, look, what can I do for you? He said that several of the local officials told him what the one thing that they really needed most immediately was more body bags.
My.
Because they're finding so many people that are dying. These are tiny little counties. They don't have, their coroner's offices don't have the capacity for this because they're finding so many bodies of people that are basically lured to cross the border by our weak border policies.
Yeah, yeah.
And as far as what happens to them, if they try to identify them, I mean, they keep them in the morgues and they try to identify them. And if they can, they, you know, work with the consuls of the countries. In other words, if they know the person's Mexican, they'll deal with the Mexican government and they'll usually take charge of the bodies, that kind of thing. But it's a very difficult problem for some of these little communities. And look, the government is encouraging this. Our government is encouraging this. There's always going to be people who are going to take stupid risks and die trying to get into the United States. We can't stop that. The world isn't perfect. But when we are encouraging people to do this, rewarding illegal immigrants for sneaking across the border, it's partly our fault then, you know, because, you know, it's like leaving your not having a fence around your swimming pool. If some kid drowns, that's partly on you because you should have done a better job of protecting, you know, keeping your swimming pool protected. The same thing at the national border.
Robin, thank you for the call. We're going to take a break, and others stay on the line. We'll get to more of your calls following. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, giving an update from the border, and are on the border, I should say. The website for our guests, CIS.org, that stands for Center for Immigration Studies, CIS.org. Back in just 1 minute here on Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. In February of 2018, I used my radio show and TV show to warn that President Barack Hussein Obama and John McCain had worked with Congress to create a commission on military, national, and public service. I warned that they were going to require women to sign up for the national draft, selective service. I also warned their goal would also be to make mandatory community service, where young people to get out of high school would have to do so many hours of community service, but it could only be with an organization approved by the government, not your church. In fact, previous federal legislation said the kids could in no way be involved with religious instruction or leading a worship team or maintaining a church building. What are they doing here? Brainwashing. Now this commission has released its report in March of 2020. Now it's been rolled into the Military Authorization Act and came out of a committee last week. They're now putting it into funding. This is on the verge of happening. Wake up, America.
going right back to the phone lines here on Crosstalk. Our guest today is Mark Krikorian. Mark is Executive Director of Center for Immigration Studies, and Susie in Cave Creek, Arizona. Thanks for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
Thank you. You know, living in Arizona, immigration is a huge issue. Kamala Harris went down to Guatemala and visited with the president there, and to Mexico and visited with the president there to try to get to the root of this problem. And I was wondering, have we had any information about what she found out and what the government is going to do because of the root of the problem of this?
Thank you, Susie, for that question. I'm going to release the line here, and let me just add to this. You'll have you answer the question here, Mark, but I said, why go to Honduras to try and find the root of this when she could have just gone to the Oval Office and found the root to the problem?
Yeah, exactly. The real root of the problem is the Biden administration. But what they were talking about is, you know, poverty and corruption and disorder and all this. And obviously that's, you know, I mean, that's part of the reason people leave. People don't leave Norway if it's, you know, stable and prosperous. But the question is, why are they coming here? Why are they coming now? And they, you know, Vice President had no good answer. She went down there and it was really more of a photo op than anything else. And neither the president of Guatemala nor the president of Mexico was, you know, particularly helpful. And in fact, just this week, the government, our government announced that they were cutting off ties or whatever to the, I forget specifically what they were discontinuing with Guatemala because they weren't cooperating in anti-corruption efforts, which is part of this root causes thing. Well, of course not. You know, when Biden was vice president, he was in charge of root causes in Central America, and we gave them something like $3.5 billion, almost $4 billion, when the Obama administration was around. Does anybody think it's really going to make any difference? It's absurd. And now we've got a substantial share. In June, more than one quarter of all illegal immigrants caught at the border were not from Central America or Mexico. They were from Haiti, Cuba, Brazil, Uzbekistan, Romania. What, are we going to fix all root causes everywhere in the world before we're allowed to enforce our border? It's nuts.
Let's get to William in East Troy, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Mr. Krikorian, thank you for all that you do to inform us on these things.
Thank you.
I wanted to first that I don't believe the Biden administration is really a friend to any real patriotic American at this point with the policies and the mindset that he has to put our country's sovereignty in jeopardy. But I wanted to ask you a question about the UN treaty you mentioned. Phyllis Schlafly a long time ago brought up that there was a dual Mexican citizenship of an organization called Aztlan that believed that the southwestern part of the U.S. was actually taken away illegally during the Mexican-American War. Do you think they would use treaties to try to get the UN involved, or with the liberal mindset of the Biden administration to try to cause civil unrest, to bring the UN here and to, I mean, I'm not even sure what to really ask. It just seems like they're trying to undermine our sovereignty. I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, thank you. Yeah, man. It's a good question. And 2 points. First of all, the administration has already invited the UN to, like, examine racism in America or something like that.
Yep.
So, I mean, in other words, they've conceded the idea that the UN should be overseeing us. But as far as this Aztlan issue, the idea that, you know, Mexico would want to take back the Southwest that they only had for like 20 years anyway, before the Mexican War, I don't think that's actually what's going on. There are some people who think in those terms, it's true. But the people in charge of governments, our government, Mexico's government, the UN, the EU, all of that, these people are not so much interested in changing borders. They're interested in, they're globalists. In other words, it's not Mexican nationalists who want Arizona. It's more globalists who want there not to really be borders.
Mm-hmm.
So that national borders would be like the county line. It would delineate who paves the road on one side or the other, but it wouldn't have any other meaning than that. That's what we have to fight. Post Americanism, post-nationalism, not so much a rival nationalism of Mexico. That's a real thing. It's not. I'm not saying it's not real. I'm worried more about whether we're even going to be allowed to have borders and national sovereignty at all.
That's a real challenge. Let's get to Fred in Milwaukee. You're on the air, Fred.
Yes, is it possible that the total assets of the United States, all assets, everything that would be an asset, are being spent in the debt in order to bring us down and make us a third world or no world country instead of the constitutional republic or,
well,
democracy. Oh, I'm sorry, it's constitutional republic.
Sure, I get your point here, Fred. As far as this mounting debt here, even for not building the wall, certainly we're heading toward collapse. You're taking us down a road we're not really talking today, but certainly the road toward collapse is very much what we're on at this point. Brendan, Illinois, you're on the air. Hello, Brendan.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Yes, I was wondering, just a few minutes ago, you mentioned the greatest need down there was body bags. Does that mean they are executing people to cross or what?
No, it's not so much that anybody, they're not executing anybody. What it is people dying because of, heat stroke and exposure and that sort of thing. Because, it's incredibly hot down there. You have a car and air conditioning and whatever and bottled water, it's not that big a deal. But if you're trying to walk 10 miles around a Border Patrol checkpoint that your smuggler is, leading you to avoid being caught, and then this guy just leaves you and you're wandering around lost, you can die pretty quickly. That's what it is.
We're
people dying. Go ahead.
We're going to try and squeeze in Eddie here from Texas. Hi, Eddie, you're on the air. Hello, Eddie. Okay, Eddie's got his radio turned way up. With us here is Mark Krikorian from Center for Immigration Studies. Mark, you've got a lot of information on your website, and certainly would encourage people to go there. What will they see when they get to your site?
We have at cis.org. We have a blog every day, blog posts every day and all of our other studies, and we have a weekly podcast now. Every Thursday, we have a new podcast, about half an hour, giving information on some different issue. And for people who like snark and sarcasm, I'm on Twitter at Mark S. as in Stephen, Mark S. Krikorian.
Very good. Well, Mark, thank you for carving out the time on short notice to join us today for some very important contemporary issues impacting our nation.
Happy to do it anytime. Thank you.
Thank you. Again, Mark Krikorian with us today, Center for Immigration Studies. He's the executive director there, and you can check out the site at cis.org. Our time is gone. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.